Thousands of starving civilians are reduced to eating roots and the bark of trees in Sudan's forgotten war zones in the Blue Nile and the Nuba Mountains. International humanitarian relief access has been blocked since armed conflict erupted there between the Sudanese government and opposition groups in 2011. Human rights activists say the Khartoum government is terrorizing the civilian population in the two areas with systematic bombing in an ethnic cleansing policy that could be close to genocide. One human rights activist who has just returned from a visit to the two areas is Baroness Cox from Britain's House of Lords. She spoke to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges about what she saw.
It's appalling in both Nuba Mountains and Blue Nile. Constant aerial bombardment by Khartoum, killing civilians, but also preventing them from harvesting and planting their crops. In Blue Nile, there were 230 bombs dropped on civilians in the last month alone. Nuba Mountains, when the fighting is at its worst, it can be up to 60 bombs a day. And of course, that kills, that terrorizes, it displaces, and it starves.
Now, you talked there about starving, and I hear there's desperate food shortages there. I mean, what are these people reduced to eating? How are they surviving?
Well, I wish you could see some of the things they showed us. I mean, the bark of trees, roots that they scavenge for, but there's no nutrition in those roots or that bark, and it actually gives them gastrointestinal problems. One elderly lady said, "We lived in the bush all through the rainy season with no shelter, no food, wet clothes, too frightened to build shelters, can't get any food, we've no plastic sheeting, no food, we're cold, we just sit here in the rain and we wait to die." This would not be happening in our world today.
And is this humanitarian crisis that's taking place but is just not getting any kind of coverage in the international press?
Certainly nothing like enough. I mean, it's probably the worst humanitarian crisis in the world today. I know about the horrors of Syria, and of course we care deeply about those, but the scale of this, the duration of this, is horrendous. Nearly a quarter of a million people have had to flee their homes. Many of them are living as internally displaced peoples, just sometimes in caves because of constant aerial bombardment. These are targeted civilians who are living and dying in these lands. And the international community, and may I say the church, has got to speak up much more strongly, because what is happening is ethnic cleansing and maybe could come within the realm of genocide.
And what was the most shocking of all the many shocking things that you saw during this visit?
I think the most shocking things are the absolutely devastated, desolated lands where people have been ethnically cleansed. In part of Blue Nile State, where we were, which has hardly received any international coverage at all, there are deserted villages. There was one little village which was poignant. In the middle of the deserted village, there was a cross. And I asked what the cross was, and that was the remnants of where they tried to celebrate Christmas, this last Christmas. Well, what kind of celebration could that have been? And then you see the families just huddled by the road, or others fleeing into South Sudan, and they're emaciated, they're tired, they're almost too tired to travel, just fleeing into attempted safety. The recent bomb craters, which we've seen, this is going on now while you and I talk this evening. There have probably been so many bombs dropped today on these civilians, and they do plead for help. And so my message really, I think, to the churches would be, you know, when one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer. So please can we have explicit, very vocal, increasing solidarity from the churches, and three specific requests. First, for prayer. And the Christians out there do really ask for prayer, but we know that prayer without deeds is dead. So deeds, aid, desperate need for aid, especially food aid. With the onset of the dry season, those food shortages are going to become absolutely critical. More people are going to starve. We were in one village where 400 people have already died of starvation. So food aid through local indigenous organizations that will get it there. And then advocacy. Please, can we as Christians, we're meant to be a voice for the voiceless, to speak for the oppressed, really shout out to our governments to take action. If they don't take action, they are implicitly being complicit. But inaction is as unethical, immoral, as the wrong actions, and it really is time to act now as Christian churches.